Okay, we've done this before. We lay out vision here, and we have a vision. We work through it. We are just not willy-nilly here. We're not grasping in the air and seeing what sticks. Okay, we as deacons, pastor and deacons, we spend a lot of time talking. We apply a lot of stuff. We do a lot of evaluations. We have committees that look through stuff. We have accountability teams. So we've got a lot of stuff in place here to make sure that what we are doing is showing some rewards. Also that we are not wasting time and resources. Okay. We evaluate constantly. So this morning we're going to talk about vision. And so just to get in a little bit, okay, the fundamentals of ministry. This is how we operate here. Okay, this is the fundamentals of ministry here at Star Church. Okay, the first one is we seek everything with prayer. We analyze situations. We look at issues that we have. We look at the landscape of the church, of the communities, of the families that we serve. We take time. We look at that. We have a group that actually go through data that is available to us. We look at unemployment. We even get down to like unemployment rates, educational systems, healthcare systems, that kind of stuff, because that stuff plays a part into the overall health of the community, overall spiritual health of the community. Okay? So, not to get too deep in the weeds, but we spend a lot of time looking at numbers, analysis, seeing how that works, and then we devote that ourselves to prayer on how will this be accomplished through the will of God. Not our will, not our church's will, but through the will of God. Okay? Then we have a doctrine, a discipline that we operate through. This is what we believe the Bible says is the truth, the Word of God, the infallible Word of God. This is how we apply it. So we take what our goals are. We take what we want to accomplish, okay? And then we make sure that it equates, that it is working with our belief systems. We have a mission statement here. We've had one that was developed in the early 90s, correct? There was a committee that was put together, spent months on that deal, right? Months of prayer, of Bible reading, all right, of collaboration. So that was a heavy undertaking, and they did it very seriously. So that mission statement still stands. That was passed by the church. It still stands. It is what we seek to accomplish here. Okay, then we are constantly developing our vision. That has to change depending on the landscape, the changes in society, the changes in stuff that's going on in our communities, the problems that families are affecting, okay? What we hope to accomplish here, the vision. We are constantly in strategic planning, all right? For those of you that are looking outwards, we meet all the time on Wednesday night, on our Wednesday night business, right? Is it, what do we need to take care of, all right? What's happening? What were some issues that we had this week, all right? We are constantly looking at the flow of the service, right, Dave? We constantly look at that, make sure that it's flowing correctly. We constantly look at what's happening, make sure that our committees are working good. Then we are making sure that what we have and what we have decided that the Lord is asking us to do in the way that we're doing it, that we're implementing it in that way. And then, again, we are constantly evaluating, all right? That's a little... It's a little textbook stuff, I know. I just want you to be aware that as a church, that this is what we are doing. I'm going to bring this, boil this down to a individual family level, so stick with me. All right? So don't get your professors talking to me eyes on me, okay? So just kind of a broad scheme. This is an overall view of how we operate and what we do here at the church. Okay? We take it very seriously. We do have a mission. A mission is a broad general statement about what we wish to reach and what the church is hopes to accomplish. Why we exist, basically. Why are we out here? Are we just here to sing songs and talk a little bit and then go home? Or do we actually have a mission that we're trying to accomplish? And, you know, it can be stuff that churches share. Our mission may look almost exactly like the church down the road. All right? For instance, it's a broad statement. It's very broad sometimes. This is the mission statement that was given to Abram when he got his life-changing mission sent to him. It just basically said, get out of your country, Get away from your family or from your father's house, and I'll show you the land to go to. That's the mission. Very broad. Okay? Here's the mission that Jesus Christ laid out before he ascended into heaven. He was talking to his disciples. This is called the Great Commission. Mission and commission, right? All right. So it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And it ends with the promise, and lo, I am with you. And I will be with you even to the end of the ages. Amen. Okay. So that is the mission that Christ gave the church. And then, as I said, we had a committee that took that mission and we kind of brought it down. We individualized it to our community, to our church. And this is the actual mission statement of Star Church. It says, our purpose is, and it's probably in your bulletin every week, right? That's how important it is. We make sure it's included in the bulletin. So if you can't remember what we're doing here, it's there to remind us. This is why we're here. And we're here to teach the infallible word of God in spirit and in truth, to instill a deep soul-winning commitment to dedicate ourselves to ministering the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the lost, our families, friends, and community. That's why we're here. That's why we exist here, is to go out and preach the word of God. And the Bible says that in season and out of season, what are we commanded to do? Preach the word of God. All right? Sometimes we even use words, is the joke, right? Okay? So that's the mission. That's not changing. That's why we're here. Christ gave us our mission. We kind of boiled it down to an individualized with the church. Okay? Now let's talk a little bit about vision. What is vision? Well, Barna Group tells us that it is a very clear image of preferable future imparted acts, which is imparted by God, sent to his chosen servants based upon an accurate understanding of God's will in his who he is in the circumstances that he wants to address. So basically, if you take all that fancy language, what a vision is the current will of God for Star Church. What is that? And we have to constantly reevaluate and constantly readjust to make sure that we are fitting. What is the present vision that God has for Star Church? Because as you can imagine, when was this church started? 1896 or whatever? 1896, it's changed a little bit. Society has changed. What needed to happen in 1896 is a little bit different than what's happening in 2020. Okay? A lot of times around the sun, things change, priorities change, different things happen. You know, they didn't have an opioid crisis on their hands in 1896 that they knew about. They didn't have all the things going on. Some of the things are the same. People were still poor. People were still struggling emotionally, physically, spiritually. Okay? People still needed to be saved. People still need to be discipled. That all stays the same. But there are elements of the vision that change. All right? This is Dr. Bill Bright. He's probably written a lot of the curriculum that goes on in Sunday school and is taught in a lot of theological schools. He says that to have a vision in your ministry is of utmost critical importance. He says, without it, it's almost like a ship without a compass, a surgeon going into surgery without a scalpel, or a writer attempting to write a book without a pen. We have to have a vision. Now, let me boil this down a little bit to you this morning, okay? Because here's the truth of the matter. Ask yourself this morning. Does your family have an identified spiritual vision? Now let me ask you this. Have you in your family ever sat down and written a mission statement? Most families have not done that. You're here for a reason, right? There are things that you have to accomplish. And we do it in our mind, right? You can say, well, I got one I could probably put together. Okay, all right. And what's that vision look like? Because what's happening is that, see, the devil is a genius. Don't mishear me now. He's not on the same level as God. He is a created being. You know what happens in the end, okay? But he's a genius. He can just get us busy enough, comfortable enough, or distracted enough, he wins. He pulls you away from all the important things. I'm guilty of it myself. I had a hard talk with someone this week about me to them. It's someone I can confide in. And I said, look at my schedule. Look at here. When I cheat in time, guess who I cheat from? My kids and wife. That's where I cheat my time from. Is that right? No, that's not right. Okay? So sometimes our priorities get lost. And what the Bible teaches, and I'm going to get to it this morning, what the Bible teaches, and listen, for those of us with kids in the house, we got to get it done. We got to get it done. I'm telling you. This is not play. We're not pulling out Play-Doh here, all right, and playing on top of the tables, and they're going to Clorox wipe it down when we're done. This is serious business. We're raising kids that are going to turn into adults who, based on what we teach them, are going to become adults and live a life based on what we taught them. The Bible says if you're a teacher, if you're called to be a teacher, it's the utmost calling ever because you're responsible for the knowledge that you're passing down. Isn't that a terrible burden to have? And guess what? If you're a grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, cousin, brother, sister, dad, mom, guess what you are? A teacher. Huh? Moms, you're teaching your sons, here's what a woman looks like. You're teaching your daughter, this is how a man can treat you. Men, you're teaching your sons, this is the way you treat a lady. This is what you're treating your daughters, or teaching your daughters. This is what you can expect to be treated like. Does it live up to what God and the Bible asks us to do? I don't know. That's for each one of us to decide, right? But we got to get serious about this stuff. We either get serious about it or it just keeps going like it is. And let me ask you this, okay? Let's just be honest. You know me, I'm pretty blunt and honest with y'all. All right, and there's a business meeting Wednesday night. You can fire me if you want to, okay? All right, I'm not asking for it, but I can't change the way I am. So here's the deal, okay? Is it going pretty good the way we're doing it? And usually when I make that face, that's a no, right? Okay, I'm setting you up for a no. It's not going well, is it? Huh? Okay? Here's the biblical foundations of what a vision's built on. We're going to get into these. Not today. A little headline of what the next three sermons are about. Okay? It's built on sacrifice. This whole Christianity starts, breathes, fueled, lived, ends with, guess what? Sacrifice. Thank God, right? No? All right. I'm thankful Jesus sacrificed himself for me. All right? Stewardship. How do you accept the things and blessings that God pours into your life? And then how do you turn that around to use it to bless those in your family and those around you? Because sometimes that gets out of kilter. And I understand there are circumstances, there are things that go on. Not your fault. You got to pick up the slack. Somebody else falls down, that kind of stuff, all right? But the Bible calls us to be stewards. End of the story. Especially as a church. Service. I mean, even Jesus Christ himself came to serve and not to be served. And he served to the level that he gave himself as the ransom for you and me. That's great, straight scripture right there. Okay? So let's get into, there is a biblical mandate that this church has a vision. It's a biblical mandate. It's in there. And there's a biblical mandate that you have one, a mission and a vision for you and your family. And here's what's happening. It says, Habakkuk. Anybody ever been preached to out of Habakkuk? Maybe once or twice in your life? Okay, it's a real book in the Bible, I promise. All right. Habakkuk 2:1. Here's what he's saying. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart. The rampart's kind of an old word. What a rampart is it's the kind of wall you would see around a medieval city, has the walkway on the top. You have the guards walking like this back and forth, you know, making sure nothing's coming. So what's being set up here is that the guy is doing his duty. He's doing his shift work up on the wall, and he's in protection mode. He's scoping the area, okay? He's surveilling the area. Here's what I'm trying to get to you guys. A lot of us men, a lot of us dads, we do a really good job on the protection issues, okay? The old burly stuff. Here is where we fall down. The spiritual stuff. The protection on the spiritual stuff. Being the spiritual leader of the house. I'm just going to shoot you straight, okay? I don't know how else to tell you. But we as American men, in whole, as a group, majority, do not live up to what's being asked for us to be out of the Bible. It's just not happening. And society is seeing the results of this. Is this sermon too hard? I'm beating you guys down pretty hard today. I'll get positive here in a minute, I promise, all right? But we feel pretty good that we can handle the rough stuff and all that. But then when you start talking about, you know, do you get up and pray in front of your kids and family? When you have a party at your house, you know, do you pray or does your wife step up and pray? That kind of thing. Those are hints on where you are. All right? That kind of stuff. Do you lead spiritual talks in your household? I remember one time I broke into like a 30-minute sermon with Tori, and all she said was, all I wanted to know is if I could have a bagel. So some of us go a little overboard, okay? We may push them away a little bit, all right? Got to be careful on the other end there, okay? But here's what the Bible's asking. Here's what the Bible's calling to happen, is that men are spiritual leaders of the house in conjunction with their wives, instead of just one party doing it all, need to be up there, not only in protection mode physically to protect them from outsiders coming into the house, you know, but also spiritual outsiders infiltrating our hearts and minds and souls within the house. That's got to happen too, okay? And when you see a strong family that is, you know, handling the troubles and the trials and tribulations, then usually there's a strong spiritual leader there. And when there's two of them there, it really rock and rolls, all right? And then it says, you see that right there? And watch to see. Now, what's the underlying premise here? You're not going to like this word. Patience. You got to have patience, okay? When you're up there and you're leading, sometimes you got to wait. Sometimes you got to wait for it to happen, because he says that he will come and he will talk to me. So here's the promise, is that if you are up there doing your job and you're doing it in the appropriate way with patience and diligence, waiting to be, to have the discernment on what God's asking you to do, the promise is that he will come and let you know what it is. And here's the way, I love the way that this verse ends. And it says, and what I will answer, you see that right there? When I am corrected. All right, now listen. This is a term that is used with parent to child. Okay? When it's a bad thing, the word that the Bible uses is called discipline. When I am disciplined, that means I've been bad and I've got to be punished and brought back into the fold. But this is corrected. This means that you've been pushed and guided into the right pathway. You see what's happening there? All right, so let's move on. Verses 2 through 3. Then the Lord answered me and said, can't make this any more clear. This is it. This is a mandate straight from God. Write the vision. See that? It's pretty blunt, isn't it? Make a vision. We are mandated as a church to have a vision. What are we going to accomplish here? How are we going to? That's the mission statement. Then What is it that we're going to do and how are we going to do it? That is where the vision comes in. Your family should have a vision. You should have a mission statement, and then you should have a vision that is being readjusted depending on the circumstances, how God talks to you. It's right there. And then here's the other thing. See that right there? Don't get so complicated. Sometimes we complicate these things. It does not have to be complicated. Christ, his great commission was pretty simple, right? Go out and make them disciples. Baptize them. Remind them of all the things that I taught you. Pretty easy, right? If you do that, I promise I'll be with you even to the end of the ages. Amen? Amen. Okay, that's it. See how simple that was? All right? Make it simple. In fact, he said, make it so simple that he who reads it can run with it. You know what that means? You don't have to go through a 7-layer course with a bunch of computer modules and tests to figure out, did you get it right? It should be laid out in plain language so that everybody can understand this is the game plan and this is what we're doing. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, with the understanding that some of this stuff is for the future. It's not going to have an immediate reward. And that's a struggle here in this day and age, because we want immediate gratification, always, on everything. Make it good for me, and how fast is it going to be good for me? That's sales, right? All right? And it says, but at the end, it will speak, and it will not lie. It will have effect, and it will not be false, because it should be always based on what is God's will for my family. And then it says there, though it tarries, guess what that means? You're going to wait for it. There's going to be struggles, okay? You're going to have to get through some stuff. Continue to wait for it, because it will surely come, and it will not tarry. So what's being said here? This is the biblical mandate. How serious are we? Let's just ask ourselves. How serious are we about ministry work here at Star Church? We might be rock and rolling, okay? I hope and pray that we are. But it's a great opportunity to evaluate and readjust on the things that we're doing, making sure that we're doing it appropriately. All right? And then let's have some blunt, honest conversations between parents and family members about, hey, how are we really attacking this thing called life? Are we just doing it kind of willy-nilly? You know what we think's great? Or do we have an actual plan on what we're doing and what we're called to do? Have we actually gone to the Lord in prayer and asked and said, hey, what is your will for our family? Why are we here existing? What are we called to do? Because I can promise you this, if you get into that, you'll find a peace, you'll find a happiness that you can't find anywhere else on this earth. Okay? And we got a lot of families that are doing well. A lot of families that are doing well. But then there are families that are struggling. And sometimes families that are doing it right are going to struggle. You understand what I'm saying? But the process has to be there. And the reason why it has to be there is because it's mandated by the Bible that we have these. And behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him. Here's what he's saying. If you're a naysayer this morning, like, we don't really need that. Okay? If that's rattling around in your head, that first part's for you right there. Oh, what happened? Oh, there we go. All right. Sorry about that. So if you're a naysayer this morning, that first part's for you. You can read it and read it and read it till it sinks in. And then here's the other part. But the just shall live by his faith. So, real quick, finish up with a few points of application. How do we take vision, this thing I've been talking about, okay, and then what's it look like in action? Because if you do this right, you'll sit down within the next days and weeks, and you'll address a mission statement for your family. Okay? And then if you do it right, you'll address a vision state. You'll pray about seeking a vision for your family. You will, okay? And then what's it look like for it to be put into action? Well, let's look at it, because it tells you right there, this is the application part of it. In verse 4, it says, the just shall live by faith. It's telling you, this is what it looks like rolling into action. So let's look at what that says, okay? That statement is used throughout the Bible. It's found three times. Romans 1:17 says, for in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. There it is again. You see it? That's an actual quotation from Habakkuk 2:4, pulled out of there and inserted into Romans 1:17. Romans is a pretty important book, isn't it? Romans? Yep, all right. Let's go to another pretty important book, Galatians. It says, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Okay? So what's that mean? What's that look like in action? Well, it's found one more time. Hebrews. It's a pretty weighty book, right? Pretty important. We don't even know who wrote Hebrews. My guess is the Holy Spirit just wrote it. Okay? It says now it just flat quotes it. Just pulls it out and quotes it. Habakkuk 2:4. Now the just shall live by faith. All right, so you think these verses are pretty important? They're showing up in some pretty heavy books, right? Some pretty heavy scripture right in the middle of some pretty heavy stuff. So let's just look at it. What's it look like? Romans 8:1-2. I always, listen to me real quick. Don't read the slide real quick, all right? I always talk about a coin. Coin has two sides. Here's the question I want to ask you. Have you ever handed a coin to a cashier and they said, oh, this is a quarter, but you turned it heads down, so it's not a quarter, not worth 25 cents. Never say that, right? No matter what side of the coin is, it's 25 cents. So here's the point I'm making on that. Both sides of the coin are valuable. Here's the other thing. We do a really good job in Christianity about teaching condemnation against sin. We got that figured out. All right? We can preach it, hell, fire, brimstone, all that fancy stuff, right? Okay? We can condemn, all that stuff. We do a good job on that. And then kind of where the struggle is sometimes is once they get saved, now what happens? Now what do we do? And then sometimes what happened in my youth a lot, I'll just be honest with you, is that I kept getting condemned. Kind of like, well, make sure you're not sinning and not doing this and that. And like, okay, all right. And a lot of times there wasn't a lot of growth involved in my life. And there were periods there where I spun my wheels. So on the coin that has condemnation that makes sinners turn to God to be saved, on the other side of that is what's called righteousness. And here's what I mean by that. It says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So here's what that is saying, is that if you are saved and redeemed by Jesus Christ, you cannot be condemned to hell. You have been saved and redeemed, right? Okay? And then it says that, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So if you are saved, the gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit living in you. That's why we preach here all the time. What's your job as a Christian? Get up, pray the prayer of emptying, remove me from me so I can be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's already there. Just make more room for him. And he does not speak his own words. He speaks the words of Jesus Christ, who's always operating in the will of God the Father. The harmony of the Holy Trinity. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So here is the coin side that we need to concentrate on now. And this is where it ties right into what vision is. We are already, for those of us who are already saved, it's time to start living a life of righteousness. Those who are righteous because they walk in, like the just, in faith. They take steps in life with faith. In fact, the image is that God comes, Jesus Christ comes to us, he pulls our sins off of us, puts it on him, takes his righteousness, and puts it on us. And he did that to every person to ever live, and then he took all those sins, took it to the cross, and put it to death at the cross. And then he was resurrected in his righteous form because death no longer existed. Amen? Okay, so this is what we're talking about. And the understanding is that, now I need you just to hang with me here a little bit, okay? That you have absolutely nothing to do with your own salvation. You are saved, everything to do with Jesus Christ. He is the author, he is the finisher, he is the beginner of salvation. We have nothing to do with it. It is all a gift. Even the faith that allows you to come to Jesus Christ is actually a gift from Jesus Christ himself. Okay? And it says that so that we ourselves can't take any ounce of credit for it. It is a gift. There's no works, lest anyone should boast. So the idea is that we have been saved. We had nothing to do with it. We received Jesus Christ's righteousness onto us. Now our lives are pushed by the righteousness that is clothed on us as a gift from Jesus Christ himself. And here's what that means. You no longer do acts and works for yourself to make yourself look good. Your acts and works should be driven due to the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is on you so that Jesus Christ can get all the glory that goes to the works that happens in our lives. That makes sense? And it says there that, for we walk by faith, not by sight. It is not us who now walks. We are driven, we are guided by his righteousness. For by one man's disobedience, many were sinners. So also one man's obedience made us all. What's the word? Righteous. We receive Christ's righteousness. All right. Galatians. Knowing that a man is not justified, okay, by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, but by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Whew, that's kind of a circular logic there, right? You can kind of get lost in all those laws and justifieds and all that stuff. Basically, here's what it's saying. Because we are Christians, and because we are clothed in Christ's righteousness, I just said this to you, I'm making the point heavy again through another verse here. Your works, your actions, your serving, your forgiving, your ability to live in hope, your ability to love people who are unlovable, to forgive people who will never ask you for forgiveness, to serve people who are hard to serve people who may or may not be taking advantage of you. Am I getting it all in there? Missing anything? It's all driven not because Aaron Phelps is a good guy and there's some kind of goodness down in there that I'm pulling that out of. Nope. It's because I'm driven by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because I am walking by faith. I am being driven by Jesus Christ. And my obligation is that now through my living, I give all the glory to Jesus Christ. Some of you get tired of me every Sunday when you say something about my sermon. I say, if it's good, I had nothing to do with it. And that's the deal I made when I accepted the calling. It would never take any kind of, if it's bad, that was me trying to be good. Okay? But if it's good, it didn't come from me. Because my best are rags, right? That's what the Bible says. So what this is saying is that if we're driven, we're driven by Jesus Christ. And he believed in the Lord. This is going all the way back to the beginning, Genesis. And he accounted it to him for righteousness. All right, so I made kind of a circular argument here. I'm going to connect it up for you. You ready? Everybody tuned in? There is a biblical mandate. You're to have a mission statement in your family. Has to happen. You're to have a vision. It's to be evaluated, re-evaluated, implemented, readjusted. Otherwise, you're just kind of going with the wind. Okay? You may have some good results, you may not. If you're going to do it the way the Bible asks you to do it, then you got to have a mission statement. It's got to be accomplished by a vision with implementation and reevaluation. What are we doing? Why do we exist here? What are we trying to accomplish as a family? Okay? And here is the fuel that drives your vision. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you try to do it on your own, I'm speaking very plainly to you this morning, right? So stick with me real quick. If you try to apply your own logic and knowledge, you will fail. Okay? You may get a little good results, but you will not get to where you need to get to had you relied on Jesus Christ and his vision. The Bible is really clear. The Bible is really clear. When we are justified, we are pulled apart, asked to serve, separated for service, deemed not guilty, and clothed with his righteousness. Then we are asked to serve for the glory of Jesus Christ. So here's a little hint. Your mission statement and your vision should all be around the glory of Jesus Christ. If it's not, then you're going about it wrong. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. And I get it. This is an unusual sermon this morning. Okay? It's not filled with a lot of emotion. Okay? Not building you up to crescendo or any kind of thing. This is what we would call like a nuts and bolts sermon. This is family application. This is church application. This is reading the Bible for what it is, and it is an instructional guide to your life. And it's saying, here's how you live according to the Bible. This is a mandate that exists. It's pulled out, handed to you. And what you do with it when it's handed to you is up to you and your family. But I can't change what the Bible teaches and what the Bible preaches. It's my job to be honest with you and to show you what the Lord is telling me needs to be said here at this church. And I ask that you continue to pray for me, my family, pray for our deacons, pray for our trustees, pray for all the committees, finance committees, accountability teams, all that stuff. Pray for the workers, the Sunday school. We need to get back to the very basics and review the basics of what ministry is. It's not pretty sometimes. It's not emotional. I'm not pulling you up to the altar with tears this morning. It's not one of those sermons, okay? I'm aware of it. But here is what this has to happen. I'm sorry, my voice is about to give, all right? But here's what has to happen. Is we're getting ready to walk into a part of the building that we've made some huge investments in. What's the return on that investment going to be? What's the mission of that investment? What's the implementation of that investment look like? And I can promise you this, that if it's a bunch of us guys sitting around on tomorrow night when we sit around on wherever we meet here and we make a decision, if it's just us shooting the breeze and say, well, that sounds pretty good. I think we did this back in 68 and, you know, 84, we did it again. It was pretty good then. If we do that kind of thing, it will fail. Same thing at your house. If you kind of look at one another and say, well, we kind of got this figured out, don't we? That's on you, okay? It's not what the Bible teaches. But if we come together, remember, there were those signs, placards out in the yards all the time, you know, if my people will pray to me, I will hear them and I will answer them. Same thing here. If we lift up our hearts and our minds and our souls and we say, show us why we're here. Show us what we need to do. I promise you, we'll start attacking some of these horrible situations that are going on in our communities. If we lose another kid, the price was too high, right? One life. They say that the angels rejoice when one soul is saved in all of heaven. All the angels of heaven rejoice when one soul is saved. So, I'm opening up the altar to you this morning. My suggestion would be to you, grab your family, pull them up here, and let's say, hey, let's get serious about this. Okay? Let's get serious about raising kids and doing it the way of the Bible. If you're a leader in this church, or if you're someone who is concerned about this church, come up and say, dear Lord, I want to make sure that we're doing things the way you're calling us to do. But it's there. It's there, and it has to happen. So without emotion, without pulling and begging you, I open up the altars to you this morning.
All to Jesus I